It's certainly a pleasure to be here with you this morning as we worship and praise God. As I ask the question, what happens? What happens when we open up this book? Well, I'm going to let John Lord tell you what happened to him. I joined the Navy to get out of town before I would be arrested, as the police knew me quite well. I joined the Navy, and I thought that would give me a new start. But I soon found out that I was the same old me, except with a short haircut. I was given a testament by the Gideons when I entered boot camp, and I kind of kept it as a good luck charm. Before I had served 7 months, I was AWL twice. My drinking habits were slowly easing into alcoholism. I knew that something had to change. I remembered that little book that I had been given at boot camp, and I began to read it. And one day I read the sixth psalm. And as I read, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Those words changed my life. After the military, I married, completed seminary, pastored churches in Tanzania and South Africa. After Hurricane Katrina, I came back and became the Louisiana National Guard chaplain. I am now a pastor of a church in New Orleans. That's what happened to John Lord when he opened up this book and allowed God to speak to him. Denny, do we belong in prison? Well, you might want to ask William Bloom or Mason Sorensen that question. William Bloom said, "I would ride my motorcycle back and forth from Pittsburgh and Chicago, buying and selling drugs. I was eventually caught and sent to prison in Illinois. One day, a man came to my cell and said, 'God told me to come and talk to you.' Bill said, 'You got the wrong guy. I'm a bad dude.' Now, if you saw Bill, he was a big, burly man with tattoos. And the man said, 'No, I don't,' as he read from a little book that he had. And then he gave it to me and told me to read it. Well, it took several years, but one day I knelt down in my cell and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. My two daughters, they attended Penn State. I attended State Penn. They were out in 4 years. It took me 5.5 years. But I now have a ministry in the Pittsburgh area. Reverend Mason Sorensen shared his testimony with us at our pastor's appreciation banquet a few weeks ago. He said he found himself in prison in California, and his cellmate says, "I've got connections. What do you want?" Well, Mason said, "They would not allow us to have any contraband in the cell, but I thought, well, if I asked for a Bible, we'd have something to read." His cellmate says, "What kind of connections do you think I have?" Well, a few days went by, and he came back to the cell with a Gideon Testament. We would read it together in our cell. Now, fast forward. Reverend Sorensen has served as a pastor for the past 28 years. In Wellsville, New York. That's what happened to Bill and Mason when they opened up this book and allowed God's Spirit to speak to them. Julie, yes, we do belong in prison. Since 1908, we have been partnering with churches just like this, placing Bibles in hotels and motels. It all began with our first placement in the Superior Hotel in Iron Mountain, Montana. We like to say, wherever people travel, we are there. You might say the Gideons are everywhere. We distribute testaments to, just like this, to schools and college students all around the world. And locally, this fall, we were at Penn Tech University, or Penn Tech College in Williamsport, Mansfield, and Penn State University. Penn State, we handed out a little over 7,000 scriptures. We just concluded distributions in Chile, Mexico, and Italy. And one of our members, Bill Chaffone from Brookville, traveled at his own expense to help with the distribution there in Italy. Whether you pray for the Gideon ministry or give financially, you are there with us. I'd like to read a brief letter that we received last year at one of our blitzes that was held in Ghana, where over 575,000 scriptures were handed out there in Ghana. During a visit to the military installation, the Gideons joined 300 officers gathered to welcome them. They prayed together, and the Blitz team's members presented a New Testament to each officer. Before leaving, Gideons met with the admiral, who gave his blessing on their mission to spread the gospel throughout Ghana, granting them access to all the military, offices, schools, and hospitals. That's what happens when we pray and God answers our prayers. Our wives play an important role in our ministry as well. They're not only our prayer partners, but they have the responsibility of placing Bibles in the hotel or in the doctor's and dentist's offices, and they assist us with hospital and nursing home distributions, as well as giving pocket testaments to those in the medical field. The hospital is where a very confused 17-year-old youth from India found himself after attempting to end his life. While in the hospital, he was given a Bible that was placed by the Gideons. Before he left the hospital, he had accepted Christ as his Savior. That person, that 17-year-old youth, was Dr. Rabbi Zacharias, and he has led literally thousands to the Lord. He spoke at our international convention last year in Philadelphia. A Bible was available when needed. 17-year-old Rabbi Zacharias opened it up, and God spoke to him as he began reading his word. Our ministry is growing very rapidly in India, not only in membership, but also distributions. For over 2 years now, we are averaging placing 1 million scriptures every month in India. At this time, I'd like you to view a short video of a testimony.
chance to thank an organization that is personally responsible for my salvation. You know, the Gideons placed millions and millions of Bibles. Tonight, I want to share the story of this one Bible and how it changed my life forever. When I was a baby, my parents divorced. And when I was 10 years old, my mother married a Jehovah's Witness. Now, at 10 years old, you really can't decide the religions of the world. I didn't realize it was a cult. I didn't know anything about it. And to be honest with you, I wanted to be a good Jehovah's Witness. We lived in the state of California, and soon we moved to the state of Washington, and we lived on a little island in the Puget Sound called Whidbey Island. It was about an hour from Seattle. And there I'd go door to door, and I'd distribute their watchtowers and awakes. We didn't celebrate birthdays and holidays and Christmas. In fact, to me, Christmas was one of the loneliest days of the year. We didn't salute the flag, but that was still okay because I was trying to do what my parents were directing me to do, and it was the only thing I knew in my life. But the more I tried to serve this cult, this organization, the more loneliness I felt inside and the more despair, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why, if I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing, why I felt so bad at night, bad all the time. And I remember when I was 15 years old, I just went to bed one night, and I was just crying to God. In fact, I cried, and I just yelled to God. I said, God, I said, if you are up there, is this all there is to life? Is this all there is? And I remember going to bed that night just crying. I was hurting so bad. Well, you know, I think God heard my prayer that night because a couple weeks later, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I decided I was going to run away from home. I was 15 years old. I remember I put pillows underneath my blankets and I snuck out the bedroom window, went to a friend's house and spent the night. And the next morning, I caught a boat ride over to the mainland and caught a ride into the plane terminal in Seattle and bought a plane ticket to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And people often ask me, well, why Fort Smith, Arkansas? Well, my grandparents lived there, and they were the only people in the world I knew I could turn to. And they didn't even know I was coming. But I just got on that plane. I never will forget getting on that plane. I was scared. I was crying. And I was lost in more ways than one. I got to my grandparents on a Monday or Tuesday, and I never forget they invited me to church that Wednesday night. And folks, it was just a normal Wednesday night service like we all go to an evangelical church. The pastor met me at the front door of the church. He shook my hand. We had a service. They had a prayer, a couple songs, and they had a message. It, nothing out of the ordinary, just a normal small country church Wednesday night service. But something happened in that service that I couldn't explain. And as we were going home, we lived about 15 miles out in the country, I turned to my grandparents and said, Nano Gramps, I said, I felt something in that service that I can't explain. I feel like a baby wrapped in its mother's arms. What is that feeling? And I never will forget, my grandmother just looked at me and she smiled and she said, well, son, that is the Holy Spirit ministering to you. Folks, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't even know what that meant. And I just took it in, and I was so taken back by it. Well, that next Sunday morning came along. She came into my bedroom, and she shook me on the shoulder, and she said, well, son, it's time to go to church. And I just kind of looked at her, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going. And, you know, maybe I was scared of another religion. Maybe I was scared to commit. Or maybe I was just so far away from the truth that I couldn't see if it was right in front of my eyes. But you got to know my grandmother. She didn't leave. She just stood by the side of the bed, and she put her hand on her hip like this. And she said, well, son, in this house, we go to church on Sunday morning. Are you going? And she said it a little bit more emphatically that time. And I never will forget looking at her. Because I look back at that point in my life and I realize it was the fork in the road of my life. How I answered that question would probably affect me for the rest of my life. And I remember I just kind of paused and hesitated. And finally I said, okay, I'll go. And I started to go. I'd sat in the very back of the services. I didn't really take part. I kept quiet. This went on for like a month or two until one Sunday morning as I was walking into the foyer of the church, a man greeted me. And all I got was part of his name was Gene. And then he just said, are you a Christian? And guys, my heart started to pump like that. And I just looked at him with this big smile I got on my face right now. I said, no. And he said, well, would you like to be right now? And I thought to myself, who is this guy? And my heart was pumping even harder like this. And I said, well, no, not really, sir. And he said, well, that's okay. He said, I'd like to give you something. And he pulled this Bible out of his pocket. He said, I'd like to give you this. And he shared some scriptures with me. He even shared with me there's a place in the back. If I ever give my heart to Christ, I can sign my name. He says, if I give you this Bible, will you take it home and begin to read it? And I said, yes, sir, I will. And then he left away. He said, I'll be praying for you. I said, okay. And as he left, guys, to be honest with you, I was kind of glad when he left because he scared me. But he also challenged me more so than any other person in my life. It's just he reached into my very body, my very heart, my very soul, and just slipped my heart open, and he just placed the Word of God where no one had placed it before. Well, I took this Bible home. I began to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I couldn't believe the story about this guy called Jesus Christ because I didn't know anything about him. With the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would lead you all over the place. But when I read the scriptures, I realized about the saving power of Christ. And I just couldn't get enough of the Word. And this went on for a couple weeks until one Sunday night. I went to the service. The pastor gave his message. And to be honest with you, I didn't even hear what the message was about. But at the very end, he then said, is there anybody here that would like to receive Christ as their Savior? And it just felt like somebody was tapping me on the shoulder like this. And I tried to hold on to the edge of the podium or the pew that I was sitting on, but it just didn't work. And finally, I let go, and I ran down to the altar, and I knelt at the altar, and the pastor said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And I said, yes, sir, I would. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. You know, God is so good. God is so good. He took me from a cult on Whidbey Island, took me away from all that junk, pulled me away from that, and placed the Word of God in my heart where no one had placed it before, just to reach out to me. And, you know, I often look back at my testimony, and I wonder, I said, well, God, who was responsible for my testimony? Was it the Gideon who gave me the Bible? Was it that dear pastor of mine? By the way, I'm still in that same church today, and it's been over 40 years. Or was it my grandmother put her hand on her hip and said, in this house, we go to church on Sunday night? And I often look back at that, and I realize that the early church used to argue about the two. They used to say, well, I'm saved of him, and I'm saved of him. But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. You see, God is responsible for all of our salvations, but he uses all of us working together to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. I remember when I first started sharing my testimony, I had to write it down. I typed it all up because I didn't want to forget anything, and I began to pray over it. And after I prayed over it the first day, it just didn't seem right. I had a check on my spirit. I prayed the second day, and I still had a check on my spirit. And finally, the third day, God showed me that this really wasn't my testimony, because God showed me that my testimony, it didn't end back then. It only began back then. And just as God has revealed much of my personal testimony to me in just the last few years in this ministry known as Gideon's, I know he has great things in store for me and all of his people. You know, I'm so excited about the Gideons, and when I go share my testimony, there's usually a reason why I share it, and maybe it's to reach a lost one. Maybe it's to encourage Gideons to be more bold in their witness, like that man called Eugene Harris, who was a Gideon in my own camp. Or maybe it's just to reach out to someone. And tonight, I want to reach out on a personal note to one of the most important people in my life, and it's my son, Eric Dodd. Is Eric here somewhere? Can you stand, Eric? There's Eric right there. Eric, I just want to say something, Eric. Your mom and I love you very much, and I know you're going through some struggles, but just as God has touched my life and taken me through struggles, I know he can take you through those same struggles through. Because, see, the God that saved me is still saving me today. And when God used his Bible to touch my life, he not only changed my life, but he changed my family. He changed my wife. He changed our children. And he changed our family for generations to come. guys, this is a great Bible, an exciting Bible, and this Bible can change lives. I know it changed mine. Thank you very much.
You've heard me share a number of testimonies, and now you have seen one. That's why we do what we do. By providing Bibles and testaments, you are allowing the Gideons to plant God's seed. As we read in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus is telling the parable about the soils, in verse 11 he says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." I'd like you to visualize something. Can you picture yourself growing up in an atheistic family? Well, Dale McCluskey did. Dale said, "My grandparents reared four children in this atheistic mode. My father and his three siblings all died angry at the church." Dale said, "I recall my last conversation with my oldest uncle, who was then 94 years old. His last words to me were, 'Dale, I'll bet in 100 years they'll have proved there is no God.' When the Gideons came to my school and gave me a testament, that was the first time that I had ever held God's word. One of our fellow students would lead us in studying the testaments that we received out on the playground. God's seed was planted. When I went to college, I became friends with some Christian friends. God's seed was watered through them. I gave my life to Christ as a senior in college. God took care of the harvest. As Dale continued reading his word, Dale said, "When I cleaned out my office for the last time after serving the Lord for 45 years, among my treasured possessions was that well-worn New Testament. In all the years, to me, one truth stands out. God's word changes lives. It changed mine and those of my family." We as Gideons are placing God's word, these books, at the rate of 1 million every 4 days and 6 hours. Another way to put it, every time your heart beats, over 2 copies of God's word are being placed around the world. But what about those that do not have this book? Don't know that they can have a personal relationship with God and that God loves them? That's where the church and the Gideons come in. For every $1.25 that you or I give will allow us to place a testament into the hand of someone. From your hands, through our hands, into their hands, through God's hands, because of God's hands. We're placing these books into the hands of those entering the military like John Lord, those graduating from nursing school, emergency room personnel, those that find themselves in prison, or given to a college or school student. like the testament that was offered to a Muslim girl 3 years ago at our Penn State distribution. She took the testament and then said, "What is it?" We said, "The New Testament." "But what is it?" We said, "The Bible." Again, she said, "But what is it?" We said, "The book that tells about Jesus." She kissed it and then walked away. The seed was planted, and we pray that God will take care of the harvest. You know, would you help us? Your compassion, your prayers, and your generosity allow us to place God's word now in 200 countries where we have members. Gideon's partnering with churches anywhere to reach the lost everywhere. You know, if we don't go, who will? We be in the church and the Gideons. If we don't go, who will? In April, we placed our 2 billion scripture in our history. But it's not about the numbers. It's about the lives changed because of those numbers. It took us around 94 years to place our first billion. It took us 15 years to place our second billion. We have a goal of placing our third billion in 10 years. One of those 2 billion scriptures was given to Leroy Kennedy while he was sitting on a park bench contemplating what a mess his life was. Leroy's third wife had just left him, saying, "I can't live like this any longer." Some Gideons were in the park witnessing to the homeless that day, and one came over to me and said, "Do you know Jesus?" Leroy said, "No, and I don't want to." Well, he said that Jesus loved me. Leroy said, "If you knew all the bad things I've done, all the people I've hurt, nobody could love me." Well, he read from a little book that he had, and he showed me the helps that are in the front of our testament. And he read some scriptures, and then they gave it to me and told me to read it. Leroy said, "I did begin to read it. Today, I can share my testimony because of one man asking the question, 'Do you know Jesus?' and then giving me the book that tells about Jesus." You know, a great way to support the Gideon ministry year-round is by using our Gideon Bible Card program. And we have a 3-minute video that explains that program.
Happy birthday. Thank you. Get well soon. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. But a Gideon card says so much more. In addition to creating a meaningful moment, you make it possible for lives to be changed forever through the sharing of God's Word. Giving through the Gideon Card Bible Program is simple. Choose a card, personalize and send it. Then, donate Bibles. You can also quickly complete the process online at gideons.org/sendtheword. With this simple gesture, you play a vital role in placing the gospel into the hands of those who may otherwise never receive it. Your gift might purchase a copy of God's Word for someone on the streets of Brooklyn or in Buenos Aires, a local hospital, or a school deep in the heart of Nigeria. More than 85 million copies of Scripture are distributed each year in over 190 countries around the world. And each is distributed one by one by one. You may obtain cards in several convenient ways, from gideons.org/sendtheword or from the displays in your church or local funeral home. Already have a card? You can still participate by enclosing the simple Bible donation insert with your card.
And I said, I don't know no Jesus, and there's no Jesus in this block. And he, at that time, proceeded to share with me the contents of the book in his hand. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he gave me that little book and told me to take it with me, told me to put my name on the back of it if I believed it, and he turned and walked away.
Share the triple blessing of Gideon cards. A blessing for you as you provide God's word, for the recipient who receives your card, and for that someone you may never know who receives a copy of God's word because of your simple act of kindness. Visit gideons.org/sendtheword today.
I don't know where all the millions of scripture has gone, but I know where one scripture has gone. And it landed in my hands. And it was that scripture that began the journey for me toward a life of obedience to Christ.
Send the word and change a life.
These beautiful cards are free, and you do have a rack in the back of the church, and I have extra cards there today, and I would encourage you to take some home with you so that when an occasion arises that you will have a card that you can send. As you saw, we have some new cards beside the In Memory cards, the praying for you, your special day, as well as in recognition cards. We got a call from an owner, from a hotel owner in Fontana, California, saying that someone had taken one of the Bibles that from one of the rooms and left a gun in this place. Well, I've heard of gun buyback programs, but this was a Bible for a gun exchange. Who gave the $5 that allowed us to place that Bible? We don't know. Well, I guess it could have been Russ. It could have been you. It could have been one of any of you. But it certainly made a difference in someone's life. You know, each testimony that was shared today and that that our international staff receives is the result of someone like you giving the resources that allows us to place God's word. Because they opened up this book and allowed God to speak to them. I certainly thank you for allowing me to share just a little bit about what God is doing through the Gideon Ministry as we partner together to reach the lost. We are simply a missionary arm of the church, this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Now you got to know a little bit more about the Gideons. I've, I guess, on a local basis for 35 years. You know, I've walked the halls of the school, and each year the Gideons used to come in. And I can remember back when I was in school, the Gideons coming in and taking a little new test, pocket testament home. But I must tell you about, as far as in the school, when I used to always be happy, amazed many times, because people give a lot of things out to us, and then you go around and pick them all up in the cafeteria, you pick up in the garbage, or you pick up here and there. But very few times I've seen Gideon Bibles put away. Once in a while somebody but has it sitting on the table. But I would saw sometimes throughout the year I would see that Gideon Bible show up on some kid's desk. and he was sitting there reading it, or she was. Or I'd see it in their backpack or in their locker. And the fact is they kept them. And some were surprising. Some I didn't expect to have them, keep them. And it was sometimes when somebody goes to do something, somebody say, don't throw that out. That's a Bible. Or don't do this or don't do that. And I've seen it many times at the college when I was there. As a student, I remember picking up a Gideon Bible. I have an opportunity, and I enjoy. I give them out to football players when I speak to them, and I have an opportunity. They always enjoy looking through them, and just seeing. So I don't know how. As Jim said, we have no side this side of heaven how it affects anybody, but I'm sure God's word doesn't come back void. God's word is put in their heart. Thank you, Jim, for the presentation. And at this time, let's stand and we'll sing one verse of how.